Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Wow. I'm finding it really hard to actually begin because of that beautiful atmosphere. I don't know about you, but sometimes you just have these moments in the house of God, or maybe it's in your private world, you just don't want to move on. You have that, or is that just me? Am I just the one who just loves to sit and could just sit? Yeah, right. It's a quiet house this morning. It's the beautiful peace of God, I know. Well, I have a message this morning. You may have seen it on social media that has been going around my spirit for a little while. It's a deep word. It's a deep, deep word this morning. It's a part of a series that we're doing at the moment, Glorious Mess. And I love the title of this series at the moment because there can be glory found in our mess. Each and every one of us has brokenness. And the truth is even though we go from strength to strength when we do our relationship with God, until such a time in which we go and be with Him in heaven, we will have an element of brokenness to our lives. And what I love about this is that He would still shine His glory upon us. He'd use our mess and make it a testimony for others who walk the same things that we walk, because the truth is the enemy wants us to believe that it is just us, but the most powerful testimony is me too, right? It's me too. Each and every one of us actually walk trials, and often you'll find that when you're feeling like you're absolutely alone, probably this morning the person sitting beside you has walked a similar trial. The enemy wants you to make you feel all alone, but I'm letting you know this morning there is something powerful about sharing your testimony. I was so blown away by that young lady from camp. Now, I was blown away by her testimony because I can't imagine living a life with a physical infirmity that is evident, right? Imagine walking that just for a moment. Maybe that's something you've actually walked, but I can't imagine. It's not something I've actually walked as a part of my journey. But I can't imagine that. But what I loved is that she said, I didn't just get healed. I understood faith. I understood that I had the faith to stand for things to change. I don't know about you, but I was blown away by that testimony. For a young girl to capture that at her age, that's a future set up. Wow. Well, I've got a word this morning that I would love to share. And if you have not been here for some of our series, or you've missed some of the messages here at City Point North, you can actually access any one of these on Podbean after our service. The minute the services are finished today, you can go and access that today. But I've got a word this morning, and I've titled today's message today, for those who take notes, The Unoffendable Victim. And the reason I have titled it The Unoffendable Victim is because this morning we're going to speak about offense. Now, the reason I've actually put the word victim on the end of it this morning is because I'm going to just say this right from the very start, is that each and every one of us will have ample opportunities and ample moments in our life that we will be victims of offense. What I mean by that is there are going to be many moments. There might be many moments, even as I'm sharing this message this morning, that you will have the opportunity to be offended. So there are going to be ample opportunities of offense. However, God has a plan for offense. So I want to unpack this morning. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How awesome would that statement be if it was true? What I have found, I've actually never broken a bone myself, but from being a parent and walking this now, bones are pretty easy to repair. But offenses or moments where somebody has said something or done something, it's not as easy to repair in and around our life. One of the top killers to our happiness today is offense. One offense has the ability to ruin our whole life or even just ruin a relationship. Regardless of our age, wealth, career, relationship status, or spiritual maturity, no one is exempt from offenses. Part of our human nature lies in wanting other humans to think highly of us. We want people to think that we're good looking, wealthy, and ultimately happy. We want people to think that we have it all together, living in a constant state of success. This is the very core of where we have offense from. But we have all had moments where somebody has said something or done something that has made us feel unappreciated, undervalued, and insignificant. Maybe it was gossip. Maybe it was a sexist remark. Maybe it was an action. Maybe it was a Facebook comment. Maybe it was someone being chosen over you. Sometimes we're not offended because somebody has said something or done something to us, but because somebody has said or done something to somebody we love. And under the umbrella of being a good friend, we take up an offense on behalf of others. But what if I told you there is another way to do this, that you could live unoffendable? Not invincible, not Superman or Wonder Woman, not without hurt. You'll certainly still bleed. But what if I could tell you that your pain has a purpose? What if you could hear an offense and actually know what to do with it? I want to start my message this morning with this, because what I've discovered is one of the saddest things I'm beginning to realize, particularly in this area, is that some people are waiting for an apology that may never come in order to move on. So right now, can I apologize for that offender? Just right now, I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes for just a moment, because God wants you to move on so badly, but he doesn't want you to move on without being healed. I am truly sorry for everything and every person who has ever hurt you. I'm sorry for every person who has never showed up. I'm sorry for the slander that you have experienced. I'm sorry for the sexual abuse. I'm sorry for the verbal abuse. I'm sorry for the lies that have been told about you. I'm sorry they left, and I'm sorry that they didn't choose you. I'm sorry that they didn't let you go. I'm really sorry. But today, could you invite God into that area? For many of you right now, you're actually thinking about something very specific or someone very specific. Will you give that pain to God? Your pain does not need to be a prison. Your pain has a purpose. And managing it yourself has been exhausting. I want to ask you, would you allow God to free you from all the moments when no one encouraged you? Would you allow God to free you from all the things that have been said to you and all the things that were never said enough? Holding on to that offense, that pain, is ruining your future. And God wants more from you, more for you. You can open your eyes this morning. So I want to look at what this actually is. What is an offense? I've had a little look at what the definition of offense is, and I have to tell you, I discovered the most amazing things. There are two definitions for offense, but when I dug a little deeper, offense is a really old word. And so it actually only had one meaning for a very long time. But in 1997, a new definition was added. In 1997. So I'm letting you know that culturally, offense has matured. Okay? So the original meaning of offense was a breach of a law or rule, an illegal act. That was the moment or an opportunity that we had to be offended. But what it has actually been added in 1997, the definition was added, an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Did anybody catch the little word in there? Perceived. I want to quickly look at this because in today's society we have warped what an offense actually is. We have taken what was once a breach of law or an illegal act, hurt caused by abuse or slander, to grievances based on our differences. This is the ultimate plan of the enemy, to divide, to separate, and to break down humanity from within our relationships. He has less to do if we are happy to destroy what God intended. God created us to have relationship with him. And he said in John 13, 35, that we show that and can be identified by it by our love for one another. If we are content to destroy our relationships with each other, then we are destroying our relationship with God. 1 John 4:20 says, anyone can say, I love God, yet have hatred towards another brother. This makes him a phony. Because if you don't love a brother or sister whom you can see, how can you truly love God whom you can't see? For he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also demonstrate love for one another. One of the first steps to being unoffendable is realizing that we ourselves have the large capacity to do a lot of the offending. It's an underrated defense mechanism we often operate out of. Most of us seldom criticize others out loud, but privately, merely diminishing someone else's success makes us feel better about our own weaknesses and misgivings. It's as though the other person's things, careers, relationships, families are in direct competition with our things, our careers, our relationships. But as long as we see our friends and their lives as secret competition, we will always, incidentally, offend other people because we find it so hard just to be happy for them. It's amazing that people can spend an hour on social media and internally criticize what everybody else is posting. We often feel as though we're missing the mark because we give other people's opinions of us the governing vote on how we are doing in our life. If we can somehow get people to like our highlights in social media, then we can fool ourselves into believing that they like our whole lives. The only way to stop caring about what people think of you is by giving the measuring stick to God. I believe that Jesus gave us the most phenomenal way to actually outwork this or to gave us a great example of how to do this in a parable that he told in Matthew 25. In this parable, Jesus likened the kingdom of God to a manager who gave to his servants each according to his ability. Here's why this is really good news for you and I today. It means that we never have to compare what we have received with what anybody else has. It means that whatever you are given is exactly what God thinks you can be trusted with at this time. You might want a spouse. How do you treat your family? How do you treat friends and current relationships? You might want more money or promotion, whether it be in business or ministry. How are you stewarding what you already have? We could easily measure our success or failure by our current education or lack thereof, bank account, job title, relationship status, or social media followers. But God isn't measuring your life by any of those standards at all. He's measuring your life by seeing what you can be trusted with at this time. Accepting this truth frees us from being offended by people who don't think that you're doing enough. Don't believe the lie that you would be good enough when you have a higher degree, when you have six figures, when you're a CEO on a business card, or when your status changes, when you're happily married or averaging 100 likes per post. Strangers on the internet don't get to decide if you're a success or a failure. God does. Every time, God does. And in truth, the new definition for offense today is that our sinful nature and our selfishness has most of us find the God-designed uniqueness in each other offensive. I want to challenge this today. Because if offense has matured, it means that it has the ability to do so in our life as well. Who here this morning would love to be unoffendable? I don't know about you, but I would love to be unoffendable. I have to be really, really honest. Every time I preach a message, and I'm sure many people who prepare the Word of God would say the same, I have a great testing. In the moment that I begin to put something together, it's like the forces of darkness come against me in that specific area. If I planned to preach this a year from now, I would not be going through this now. But I'm telling you now that if you choose this morning, you may find yourself in opportunities to have this tested this week. I'm just putting that out there, because if you're going to take up the challenge to be unoffendable, you're going to have moments to be tested with offense. All right, so Here's what to do. Identify your offense triggers. Every single one of us has offense triggers. Now, you might be thinking right now, I know, it's this specific person. I'm telling you now, it's not a specific person and it's not a specific act. As I began to study this out, I have to tell you the truth. When I began, I could tell you what my trigger was because I could tell you a specific behavior that every time it encounters my world, it gets my back up. It's my moment where I want to just jump in with offense. But what I've discovered as I've studied this out is it's not a particular action or a particular person that is offendable. It's actually three different behaviors in us that make us easily offendable. And I want to unpack these really, really fast because maybe you'll be able to identify yourself in one of these three. Number one, a feeling of inferiority. When you don't have a good self-esteem or strong sense of self, that may lead you to be easily offended. It's like everyone around you is constantly trying to remind you of how inferior you are just by living their lives. But it's really your complex about it that makes you feel this way and causes you to be offended. Number two, rigid thinking. This has to do with people who think that there's only one way to do or say things. When someone breaks away from that pattern, they feel that they are wrong and that there's no order and they get easily offended. They're usually also very sensitive about criticism of their beliefs and their character. Have you identified? Okay, I'm going to put this out there. Don't be identifying the person sitting beside you. I'm just putting that out because that's really, really a great way to just pass the buck. Would you do it in a search this morning and have a look at your own? Number three, egocentrism. Oh, my gosh, I can't say it this morning. Egocentric. Thank you. Been able to say it fine. This, I've got a little bit of a flu, so that's why I sound like I'm upset, but I'm not. I'm just putting it out there. Making your ego too important turns you a little paranoid. You start thinking that everything revolves around you and that other people are always talking about you, looking at you, meeting without you, pointing at you. Now, these may sound really extreme to you, but I have to be really honest. I vacillate between two and it's the first and the third. So I go from being insecure so I can be offended, to being all about myself and everybody's talking about me. Come on, put your hand up if you know it's true. I'm going to put it out there because I have to tell you that the thing or the behavior that I thought, I'm going to put it out there right now. The thing that I've really struggled with my whole life that began as a young girl was gossip. So I was in neither of the two groups at school. You know how there's groups at school? There's the popular group and there's the nerds. I was in neither. So I was the floater, there's no other way to put it, but I kind of would go into whoever would accept me at the time. But because of this dynamic, I got to hear how each one spoke about the other. And I got to hear how it happened within the same group. Now, what it taught me all the way back then is that people who speak against one another, it's never limited to that conversation. If they're going to speak about to you in confidence about somebody else, they're going to do it in the next conversation. So I actually just saw how destructive this was. But the enemy took this and he matured it in me. I have to be really honest. So I made an inner vow as a young girl, I would not be somebody who spoke. I took the scripture that says, if you have anything against anyone, go to them. And I literally wore it as a cloak for my life, which is really funny because when we are easily offendable, we can actually take the word of God and make it the very thing that we get over offended about. So I have to be honest, what happened is the amount of times I've had the conversation with Graham, do they not know the word of God? It says, anybody, he's probably heard this scripture so many times. And although I may not be somebody known for the act of gossip, I am certainly somebody known for the self-righteous. Don't they know the word of God? And this is exactly what I want to pull out about offense this morning. Because if offense always leads us to sin if we choose the negative response. You are unable, if you choose a negative response to offense, you are unable to not sin yourself from it. It presents in all different ways. It presents in gossip, presents in anger, presents in self-righteousness, presents in revenge, presents in bitterness. You might be thinking right now, they're really extreme. I don't do any of those. I'm going to give you a really practical example. All right, so you go to the shops and you have a really poor customer service experience. Because you were thinking right then, I'm none of those things. Just for a second. So you have a really terrible customer service experience. And so you get angry with the cashier. You've got some words to say. And so here comes revenge. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind before I walk away. There you are. You're revenging right there. You don't leave the moment. You let them have it and let them know how they have given you a hard or a terrible customer service experience. Then you go away and you tell people about your customer service experience, whether it's to friends or you post it on social media. So now you're gossiping. So your offense moment has taken you literally from anger to revenge. Now you're gossiping, and I'm never going to shop there again. Now you're bitter. You know it. Come on. And I'm not talking about something here that has lifelong consequences, but we're practicing sinning from offense. We always know that there are two choices. The Bible says life or death. So we already know that these moments are going to come over and over and over. But the game changer is our response to offense. I have to tell you this, the root of all offense is actually our pride. Every single one of these fall within pride. If we are truly dead to ourselves, we will not have any reason to be offended. How do we keep pride at bay? It's all in the response in the moment of offense. Stephen Furtick says it this way, and I love it. Offense is a moment, but offended is a decision. Do you know that offense is literally just a moment? It's an event. I like to think about it as an event. If you think about offense as an event, it's something that you can leave. You can exit the event. It has an end time. But it's all in our response, because offended is a decision to take the event home with you. Let me tell you, there's three really, really easy ways in the Word of God that we can actually act so that we are unoffendable victims of offense. Here we are. I'm going to unpack them really fast. Number one, forgive. Forgiveness is the best way I have learned to deal with offenses. Let them go before they happen. Did you catch that? Let them go before they happen. Here's how. Colossians 3:13 says this, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, we can read into that verse really quickly and see the forgive anyone who offends you and remember that the Lord, so we know why. But I love the two words that open this verse. It says, make allowance. Make allowance. Give margin. Provide leeway. Leave a gap. Create space. The Bible is telling us to create a space in our lives and in our words for other people to make mistakes. This means everyone in our lives and everyone in our world who offends us must be let off the hook. Not should be, must be. Everyone, leave some margin for error for others in our worlds to make mistakes, because that's what God has done for us. While hurtful actions may offend us, don't let a moment, an event of offense, cause a lifetime of pain. Let it go and move on with your life. Forgive. Forgive, forgive. When we were at our worst, Christ gave up his perfect life for our flawed ones. He'd already made up his mind. He had margin. He made allowance. He had a plan for our errors, for our mistakes. He's not only forgiven our past mistakes, but our future too. He's made room for our future mistakes. If we could see the full picture of what the person who has offended us is going, has got going on in their worlds, just like God, we could have a grace to give margin for their world, but we can't fully know what is going on. So would we allow some space? Would we give allowance for others to have error in their world? Forgive them. Forgive your dad. Forgive your mum. Forgive your teacher. Forgive your ex-boyfriend, your ex-girlfriend. Forgive your ex-spouse. Forgive your current one. Forgive your siblings. Forgive your old boss. Forgive your old friend and forgive your current ones. Forgive your last pastor and forgive your current ones. Forgive the person who spoke against you. Let it go. Let it go. And in the wise words of Elsa, let it go. There's a message there for someone today. Give all of the above allowance of the allowance of grace extended to us by the Almighty God. How do we do this? Brings me to point number two. Remain a disciple ourselves. Do you know, for many of us, we hit a stage in our life where we begin to disciple somebody else and we forget that we have to remain a disciple. We've got to be teachable. We've got to remain teachable, flexible. Ask God what he wants to do in you through the pushing of this trigger of offense. Being unoffendable only happens when we are willing to be led by God and others. When it comes to our closest relationships, I believe that there are times when what we find offensive conversations can actually be beneficial and constructive. If we are going to have successful careers, marriages, ministries, and lives, we must learn how to receive the truth without being offended by it. Proverbs 27:6 says this, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." The best way to receive honest feedback is by an honest friend. A faithful friend's perspective is so valuable because positive feedback encourages me to live in a godly living, and constructive criticism is exactly what allows me to grow and become the best version of myself. The more unoffendable I become, the more I leave space for people to help me see what I can't see about myself on my own. Who exists in your life who can tell you the truth about your life? I have to tell you this. I've had an incredible revelation lately that if the Holy Spirit lives and dwells and has his being in us, why are we so, why are we not open when he comes in the form of Trish, when he comes in the form of Mum, when he comes in the form of Lou? Because he dwells in each and every one of us. I was saying to my girls as we went away on a leadership retreat, I've been studying just how many times in the Word of God, God directly spoke to somebody. And how many times in the Word of God, God spoke through someone. One is under 100 and the other is in the thousands. He dwells in each and every one of us. Yeah, we're flawed, but if he dwells in each and every one of us, would we be open to hear him in others? Remain a disciple ourselves. And as finally, as the band comes this morning, bless those who offend you. Bless them. Bless them. Pour out blessing on them. You will reap what you will sow. Life is not about what you receive. Life is about what you give. I decided a really long time ago I wanted to be known as a cheerleader for my family and my friends. And sometimes it might be OTT. But if our friends and our family are feeling us blessing them, blessing them with our words, blessing them with our praise, blessing them with generosity, blessing them by keeping our words without anger when we're speaking in moments that are constructive criticism, blessing them, blessing them, blessing them. The life of a fan is so much more enjoyable than the life of a hater. When I begin intentionally celebrating other people, I actually find myself becoming less and less offendable. Genuine celebration of another person's success disarms the trap of comparison, which is often where we get offended. In Luke 15, Jesus tells the story about a man who has two sons and divides his inheritance. The younger of the two brothers squanders his inheritance on what the Bible describes as reckless living. He hits rock bottom and decides to come home. He thought his dad would be full of disappointment, but when he arrived, the father ran to him, kissed him, and began to throw a party for a son who had gone prodigal. When the party began, the Bible makes it crystal clear that the older brother was not happy about the younger brother's homecoming party. While we are happy for the son who was lost and became found, I think there will always be part of us that relates to the older brother who honestly just wanted to be celebrated himself. What the father tells him in response to his resentment is this: he could have thrown a party at any time. He was being celebrated all along. Just because people are not throwing the party you want them to throw for you does not mean you have to reason to refuse to attend somebody else's. We need to celebrate others. I'm not talking about a literal party here, if you haven't picked that up. I mean, accept the invitation, it's going to be great. But I'm talking about celebrating their lives, celebrating their wins, celebrating the little bits of gold that come and surface. Find it, celebrate it. If someone is getting more social media attention, join the party. If someone's getting the compliments you long for, join the party. If somebody is getting better, nicer, and newer stuff than you, join the party. If somebody advances in their career, join the party. If somebody finds a spouse before you do, join the party. If somebody has a marriage that is better than you, you want to ask for an invitation to that party. Join the party. Join the party. And I don't literally mean a physical party, but be present emotionally. Be present in praise. Be present with your words. Be present in your heart. Be present. Because people feel when you're at the party, but distant emotionally. It's possible to be somewhere and not there at the same time. Really go to the party. When you refuse to celebrate other people and their achievements, you'll begin to boil in phantom discouragement and offense. It's like a breeding ground for offense. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Our responses to offense are the only defense we have against becoming the offender of our offense ourselves. I'm going to say that again. Our responses to offense are the only defense we have against becoming the offender of offense ourselves. So this morning, as we close our eyes, I'd love to give an opportunity this morning. Maybe you're sitting here and you've walked in. You didn't realize what I was going to share on this morning, but it's triggered something because there is offense. You're in a state of offended. Somebody at some time did or said something that has left you marked. Can I ask you this morning, would you allow God in on that area? Would you give it over to Him? I shared with a young lady this week. You can hand this over to Him right now. You can literally, in your mind and your spirit, just pass it on over. Sometimes I visualize the cross and I place it at the foot of the cross and I take a couple of steps away. But do you know, I was sharing with a young lady this week that I actually have a formula to how I hand this over. I like to journal. If you like to journal, I think it's a really powerful thing. But I write it in my journal. Not of this happened to me, but hey God, this happened today and I can't carry it from here, so I'm writing it here and I'm leaving it here, and then I turn the page and I literally put a bull clip over it so I can't actually go back. Whatever it is you need to do this morning to let it go, can I ask right now, would you just ask the Holy Spirit, would you come in on this area? Help me to hand this over to you right now. I don't want to live offended from this moment forward. I literally want to walk out of this service this morning and have this dealt with, left with you. Father, right now, I pray for those who are in this situation right now. I pray that you would give them the strength right now to hand it over, to hand it over to you, to leave that offense right there at your feet. Would you come in on that area and begin to heal it? Begin to speak life in it. Begin to speak what was not spoken. Begin to repair what has happened there. Thank you, Jesus. We believe it is done right now. But this morning, I'm going to challenge each and every one of us. Would you go from here today? And when offense, victim, opportunities arise, would you be quick to forgive? Remain open and teachable when loved ones come and they share the Holy Spirit into your world and speak into areas that you do not see yourself. Would you bless those who have offended you?